WildTalkRadio.com.
I have one question for everybody here tonight.
Are you ready?
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Now I put no stock in what any man thinks, only what I know. And what I know is this. The result will be just like the first time. I will put him 6 feet under. Game over.
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
I am talent. I am fame. I am music. I am the air you breathe. I am everything.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
I really should take that final little bit out of the intro, because is he really here? Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Raw Post Show, live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. Presented, as always, by Garrick.net and MBG Films. YouTube.com/MBG1211. Streaming live on Twitch.tv/WTRLive. Streaming live on TuneIn Radio, because Shoutcast decided to work. Search Wild Talk Radio Network. Streaming live at WildTalkRadio.com. I am, of course, Sir Rockin, joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
It's Monday night. We're talking about Monday Night Raw, the Raw Before Survivor Series. And, well, this was an interesting show. The ending was interesting. This is also the first Raw without the overrun. In case you didn't hear, USA did officially pull Raw's overrun, so they now have a hard out at 11. So, and they're working on it. They're trying to figure it out. They had a little bit of trouble with it, I think, tonight, but it's allowed because this was their first time in, what, 20 years without an overrun, so.
It's like, oh, we have time to fill. Like, get Stephanie and Baron to start yelling at each other. Oh, they're not ready. Get them ready. They should be ready. It should be done. Get them to do a thing. We're going to get to the ending of Raw, but we're going to start at the beginning of Monday Night Raw, which opened up with a 10-man battle royal, with the winning team becoming the captains of the greatest Raw tag team Survivor Series team of all time. Instead, it got interrupted by Braun Strowman, and he destroyed the entire tag team division. I mean, if that isn't a sign your tag team division sucks, if one man is destroying your entire division, you have some problems.
Is it wrong that, like, as much as I adore Braun Strowman, because I do adore Braun Strowman, I just can't buy Braun Strowman as remotely credible right now? Just because it's like, yeah, he's big, he's scary, he's monstrous, he can yell and threaten and do grunt and spit and all these things that he does, but he can't get the job done when it matters most. Like, every time he walks into a title situation, he loses. So why should I buy him as anything credible or anything more than really he just growls and screams and yells and throws things and then he loses? Like, I'm sorry. I love the man. I think what he's done is great. But at this point, I don't buy him anymore. The magic is gone off that one. I'm sorry.
It is. But he was out here tonight and wanted to give the hands to Baron Corbin. He was holding up Monday Night Raw until he got what he wanted. Cue Stephanie McMahon, the motivator Stephanie McMahon. She understood everything the monster was going through, but she asked him to channel his rage. But Strowman's like, I don't give a damn about Shane McMahon. I don't give about representing Raw at Survivor Series. Stephanie's like, you better give a damn. And he's like,
No.
You may look at me like a mindless meat castle, but that's not who he is. He's intelligent. Stephanie says, Strowman leads Raw to victory for a third year in a row, then he could have whatever he wants. Planes, trains, automobiles, whatever he wants. Strowman says he wants another title shot. Done. Strowman said he wants Corbin, and he wants to pick the stipulation. Done. He wants him to sign a waiver so he won't be held responsible. That's going to take some work, but that'll work. But he has to not attack Corbin on the road to Survivor Series. So he said about motivating him and every other wrestler on the Raw roster. Cue Ronda Rousey. And you know, the minute Ronda got in the ring with Stephanie, the fans got interest perked up because of Stephanie McMahon and Ronda Rousey. She said she can't wait to show the man how it's really done. Becky Chance start. Rousey said maybe she doesn't have to wait. And then just glared at Stephanie. It's like, go attack her. Then Baron Corbin came out. And he's here to motivate Monday Night Raw. And told Ronda Rousey, we all can't get overconfident. And he put his arm on her. And well, it really didn't last long on her because he like got taken over quickly by Ronda Rousey.
I very much appreciate that Ronda Rousey can throw Baron Corbin like a sack of potatoes. That is a useful skill to have in life.
And then we got a stare down between Corbin and Braun Strowman. And then Strowman told Corbin, enjoy being Stephanie's lapdog because he will neuter him after Survivor Series.
That sounds entirely unnecessary, and I'm pretty sure it's already happened to him. So, you know, you may be going for something that isn't there, Braun. Just saying.
Just pointing that fact out. But there is that. Good opening segment.
Very good opening segment, yeah.
Tamina Snuka beat Ember Moon in 2018.
Go, Tamina, go! We love Ember, but go, Tamina, go!
Okay, that was the thing.
It happened, the match was fine, but it's just like, oh yay, Tamina won! She had Nia Jax with her at ringside, so this is your new power couple here, Nia Jax and Tamina Snuka. So, yay!
We had the tag team battle royal later in the show, which Chad gave them Bobby Roode won, so they're the team captains of the pre-show tag team Survivor Series match, because reasons.
Hey, the B-team made Raw.
They did.
And everybody else. And the Raw tag division is really kind of sort of lackluster.
Bobby Lashley showed his ass on Monday Night Raw.
3 times.
He flexed. He showed his ass cheeks. Okay, just his butt, not his ass cheeks. I mean, that probably come at some point. He beat Elias by countout, so he's on Team Raw. Yay. Fantastic. You had Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre come out. McIntyre claimed that this is his show now. He talked about beating down Kurt Angle last week, humiliating him. He will now not allow for any more nostalgia acts on the show. Out came Finn Balor. McIntyre to Balor, they had a lot of guts coming out here. Balor said, McIntyre crossed the line. He said he could have just beaten Angle and didn't need to humiliate him. McIntyre said, dignity is not a right reserved for everyone. McIntyre said Balor is upset because of what he did to him last week. He said Balor is an example of everything wrong with this place because he's so concerned with his emotions and feelings. Balor told McIntyre to shut up. He said he's been dealing with bullies like McIntyre his entire life and then challenged McIntyre to match. McIntyre, he said he didn't know if Balor's feelings or body were more fragile. Taking a shot there, he said McIntyre told him he has his match, but with Ziggler instead, because if he could beat someone like Dolph Ziggler, then maybe he'll lower himself to fate someone like Finn Balor. So it's like, Ziggler was like, you're really taking a shot at me? You're taking a shot at me? I see how this is. And that set up Finn and Dolph with Finn getting the win. Thoughts on the promo and the match?
It was a good promo. It was a nice setup for the match, which was, again, entertaining. I mean, you can't go wrong with Dolph and Finn. I'm not quite sure where this is going yet, but okay, all right. Gives Finn something to do. I'm not going to complain about that.
He's going to give us a Drew-Finn match and then eventually a Dolph-Drew match.
Yay. Can I just continue to have Sexy Pants McBalor, please? Maybe not.
Maybe. You could.
I mean, just saying. I mean, you know, I'd rather see Finn, personally. Nothing against Drew or Dolph or anybody else, but it's Finn.
Yeah. Stephanie congratulated Finn on his win and put him on Team Raw, so Drew and Dolph are not happy about that. So there's going to be a lot of controversy with the Raw team members because, you know, they don't all get along.
And they don't coordinate nearly as well as the women's team does.
Which we'll get to in a bit. Charlie Caruso interviewed Ronda Rousey about her Becky's comment. Rousey smirked and said, Lynch is the man and can really dish it out. She said she wasn't trying to insult Lynch, but it's ridiculous that Lynch keeps talking about ripping her arm off. She said Lynch is hypersensitive and not just the man. She's the millennial man. She said she is the skinny jeans wearing, V-neck sporting, avocado toast munching, wing shoe wearing millennial man with a bubble wrapped ego and a porcelain self-perception. She says she's not Charlotte Flair, Raw isn't SmackDown, and being offended doesn't make you right. She said Lynch isn't Oliver Twist. Rousey said she's not some trust fund baby at that point. And then Nia and Tamina showed up and told Ronda, good luck. I like Ronda's promos. They're getting a lot better.
She's getting more comfortable in the way that she's speaking. And again, what's helping her is that she is writing her own stuff, I believe, with their assistance. And so they're sort of helping her out there to get her more comfortable in how she's speaking and how she's taking shots. And she's doing other things. So it feels more like her as opposed to them sort of being like, okay, well, this is who we think you are. It's just her being her. And that's helping.
Pretty much. So I enjoyed it there. Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar were out. They talked up the big Survivor Series matchup with AJ Styles. And basically, Heyman's going to have told everyone that Brock Lesnar is going to take AJ Styles to Suplex City at 5, 1, 2, 3. It's not just a prediction. It's a Jinder Mahal. Jinder Mahal reminded us that last year it was supposed to be Mahal versus Lesnar. And then he wants to help Brock with his rage and everything out and get ready for his match with AJ Styles, and wants him to focus, and he wants to, you know, teach him his mantra. Brock's like, Paul Heyman's like, he doesn't want any of it. Brock's like, come on in, and told Paul Heyman, after all, you should really hear this. You're Jewish.
Only one friend can say that to another friend, just so everybody's aware. When you've been friends, as long as those two have, I'm pretty sure it's allowed. Like, you can get away with that. I know people will find that really, really, really offensive that he said it, but it was said from one friend to another in jest. Just saying. Anyway, going on.
So then he's teaching him the mantra, and then Brock just destroys Jinder Mahal and almost killed a Singh brother.
I think he almost killed two, technically. I mean, it's like he got some airtime with the Singh brothers.
Yeah, he did.
Like, he threw the first one across the ring.
Onto his
pillar,
neck.
Pillar to pillar.
Mm-hmm.
And he got damn close with the second one. I mean, it was like, jeez!
Yeah, so that was interesting. So, one of the bigger things that happened on the show, Seth Rollins was in the ring with Corey Graves. Talked about how this is the first matchup with Nakamura, but he doesn't give a damn about it. He told him, you know, Graves said he understands Rollins is thinking about Dean Ambrose, but if his head isn't in the game on Sunday, Nakamura will take it off. Rollins said he'll be fine once the bell rings, but he wants answers from Dean Ambrose. Rollins said Ambrose knows why he did what he did, but he's not man enough to tell him face to face. Ambrose appears on the screen. He's sitting on a car with a fire next to him. He said he doesn't owe anyone an explanation. And he mocked the fans going, why Dean, why Dean, why? Ambrose questioned if Rollins was thinking maybe he shouldn't have talked to him or treated him the way he did, like a charity case.
So basically Seth just kind of stood there looking like a wounded puppy. As, you know, Dean continues on, he basically implodes the Shield fandom by saying, you know, Roman made him weak, and he mocks the Fist, he mocks pretty much everything that was the Shield, and fangirls everywhere tonight are crying, because Dean Ambrose is like, that's it, screw it, I'm done with the Shield, I'm done with all this crap, and I'm done with you.
Pretty much.
And to basically throw salt on that gaping wound, Dean picks up a vest, a tactical vest, that mysteriously looks like
something Seth Rollins wore.
Something Seth Rollins wore, although it could have been Dean's. I'm not entirely sure whose it was. May have been Roman's too. Anyway, it's a black tactical vest. He takes gasoline, pours it all over the tactical vest, and then tosses it into the barrel fire, thus burning it down.
That's good. It's really good.
This was excellent. Dean Ambrose is so good at his job. And then you just had Seth Rollins standing in the ring looking completely forlorn at what is happening in front of him. Like, it's like Dean basically shot his dog on national television. And just there's nothing Seth can do about it.
There was nothing he could do. Nothing.
But I mean, Dean's not entirely wrong in the way that Seth treated him. It's like, again, Seth always sort of used Dean.
He did.
Always.
He was tired of being used by them, and he finally had enough.
And so he's like, it's like, he's tight with Roman. He's not so tight with Seth. So, yeah, this was very well done. This was excellent.
Then you had the Riot Squad, Ruby Riot, Sarah Logan, Liv Morgan in the ring, and she was very somber about what she did last week. She was remorseful. But then she's like, she enjoyed every second of what she did by breaking the sunglasses. She said Natty took it, she said she took it too far, but she didn't take it far enough. She said she wanted Natalya to feel real emotion. And then Riot said Natty wore the sunglasses because she was ashamed to look at his own. Neidhart wore the sunglasses because he was ashamed to look at his own daughter. Natty's music played. The Riot Squad were ready for a fight. Natty jumps from behind. They get the numbers advantage on her and then hit a weak-looking heart attack clothesline.
Yeah, they tried something there. I think they were trying to be extra safe with it, and
it was really weak.
It would have been better if they had turned it where you show, and they show Ruby hit, and then you just have Sarah drop her back. Like, you don't show Ruby actually delivering the physical clothesline. You show Sarah just dropping her back as Ruby comes through with the follow through. That would have been better.
Yeah, it would have been better. I mean, they're used to their camera cuts, and they didn't cut it that one at all correctly.
So yeah, so little flub there.
So the main event. Alexa Bliss comes out and introduces her team, includes Natalya, but she's sent home and used her rage on Sunday. Then she brings out, she had Nia Jax and Tamina and Mickey James. She noted the accomplishments of Mickey James, how she's a future Hall of Famer, former women's champion Nia Jax, and then there's Tamina Snuka.
Poor Tamina. Can we get her a title, please? Please? Can we get her two or three? Just so that way it's like, the list is complete. Like, I feel so bad for her because it's like, you know, you're a former women's champion. Oh, hi, Tamina. That's what it felt like. And you're just like, oh, that's unfortunate. It's like, poor Tamina. Anyway, I'm sorry. Continue. Okay, so basically we need the final member of Team Raw. And so this sets up a match where Alexa's basically like, maybe I want Bayley, maybe I want Sasha. You two fight it out, and whoever wins gets the last spot on Team Raw. So Sasha and Bayley have a match in your main event. And well, I don't remember who came out Victoria. I think it got stopped or got interrupted or something. I don't quite remember. Even though it just like happened 10 minutes ago. But
it was the other women attacked.
That's right.
And caused a double disqualification. Which then led to Alexa Bliss announcing that, well, neither of them could get the job done. So the partner is Ruby Riot.
I just like say how much I appreciate that Alexa coordinated her entire team to be the studs, leather, and latex team. Like, they're all into studs. They're all into leather, latex, black. Like, they're going to be so coordinated. It's amazing. I really have to compliment whoever put this team together because they did a nice job just on the fashion terms. Talent speaks for itself, but just fashion, I'm like, wow, they all have that in common. Who would have thought it? That's crazy.
And then, quickly, there was as the Team Raw celebrated, there was a cut backstage, and it's Becky Lynch with the armbar on Ronda Rousey. What?
So proud of Becky.
And then Becky Lynch slowly walks out into the arena, looking at all the women in the ring. And then, the SmackDown women attack. You had Charlotte, you had the Iconics, you had Asuka and Naomi. They were all there, and they all start brawling with Team Raw. You had other members of the Raw roster, women's roster come out, and they're all brawling. And then somehow, someway, Becky Lynch's nose is bleeding a faucet.
Yeah, somehow, someway she got busted open. I don't think anybody's sure how that happened. But it's like, one minute you see her, she's fine. The next minute, blood is everywhere. Literally, it's all over her face. It's all over her arms and hands. But you know what? It made her look 6 times more badass because she just kind of like, she like comes up in the middle like she's punching someone and she's covered in blood. And she just takes her hand and she wipes her blood on her face, off her face, and she looks at it and she's like, oh, crap. Okay, whatever. Flicks the excess blood towards the crowd and then keeps fighting.
You had Ronda Rousey come out holding her arm, and then she pushed over a couple of one of the Iconics and someone else, and then Becky nails her with a chair a few times right on the arm, fan chant one more time, so she did it, and she's bloody and everything, and then the SmackDown roster leaves through the crowd. And Becky's just standing up in the stands, bloody and everything. The blood starts to dry up, so it's just dry blood on her face. You had Ronda in the ring clutching her arm.
Fuming.
And this is the moment where, okay, Raw's not used to this. This is usually how SmackDown ends, where you have to like sort of go to a replay or something. They're still, they're like, they ended 4 minutes short. What are they going to do? We can't get to to Stephanie and Corey yelling at each other, or Baron yelling at each other. So it's like, okay, now they get to it. Stephanie's all pissed off how they got in there. Corbin's like, I don't know how they got here, and blah, 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 blah. She's throwing a huge fit, and she wants to know what hell he's doing. And then you cut back, and it's, oh, Ronda's in pain, and that's how you go off the air. I love the ending to Ronda Raw. Loved it. Awkward timing, but without, you know, with question about that. Besides that.
This was great. I loved every second of this. I loved how you had the women invade. I loved how Becky conveniently got bloody. Whoever actually made her get bloody is probably getting a talking to right now about it. But yeah, this was great. Everything about this was wonderful. I'm curious to see if they have the Raw women show up tomorrow or if the Raw men show up tomorrow on SmackDown. But this was a nice added touch because I feel like the SmackDown women's roster is not necessarily united, but it's like, because they're all like, eh, screw you. And then Becky gets up on a soapbox and she's like, yeah, screw you all. I hate all of you. But you know what? Screw these women more. Let's go beat them up. And they were all like, yeah, let's go beat them up. And that's what happened. I want to believe that's what happened.
So yeah, that was Monday Night Raw. I enjoyed it.
I thought this was a fine show. I mean, it wasn't like, there were high moments in the show. It wasn't terribly exciting, but this was a good show.
It dragged the points, but Raw always drags at points.
You can tell they're still adjusting to not having the overrun.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was very, very interesting. As we go, hey Steph, you're welcome for the help. We just made Raw better. Hashtag SmackDown SD Live. Women rule. Crying emoji. Shane McMahon.
Oh, Shane.
But that'll do it for the Raw Post Show Thursday, though. It's the rack.
That's right. We are back. Tune in. We'll have news, notes, NXT, SmackDown, and we will be previewing Survivor Series, which is this Sunday on the WWE Network.
And?
So you don't want
And?
Mixed Match Challenge?
No. TakeOver.
Oh, yeah. TakeOver. Right. TakeOver. We may or may not have the NXT analyst and the assistant analyst. So we'll have to see. Stay tuned for information on that. But it's The Rack. Thursdays, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WallTalkRadio.com.
Rack Radio Show on our favorite social media platform. Saturday night, midnight-ish. It's another edition of CB Radio. Go to CBRadioLive.com. GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. Sunday night, Russell Talk Radio will be live right after Survivor Series to break it all down. And we'll be back next Monday night. I guess now new start time, 11 p.m. Eastern for the Raw Post Show. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Twitch.tv/WTLive. Follow, subscribe, do the thing.
Thank you very much, WWE, for making it so I can go to bed a little bit earlier after doing the show. Very much appreciate it. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lins Ward, LANSWARD.
Thanks to GirlWork.net and MBG Films. YouTube.com/MBG1211. She's Lindsay, I'm Rock. We'll see you Thursday for the Rack. And right back here for the Raw Post Show every Monday night, live right here. Streaming live on the Wild Talk Radio Network right here, WildTalkRadio.com.
WildTalkRadio.com.